Good morning. It's 6:51 a.m. Yeah, 6:51 a.m. on Monday, August the 3rd, 2020. And it's delicious. It's cold. It's chilly. I got goosebumps on my arms. I was walking with the sun on my back, and it just didn't barely warm me a bit. Every once in a while, there's a cold wind that blows. It comes up, it's a really strong, well, it's a breeze, but it's not a wind. Oh, here comes one now. Blows through. It feels really cold, and it dies out. The temperature at my back door was still 62 degrees. I don't know if the thermometers broke, or it's just that the house maintains a certain level of microclimate. The official temperature ambient is 57. Feels like 57. Feels like 55. And I'm dressed for 65. So yeah, it's a bit chilly. I'm enjoying it. I have to enjoy it now because it's not going to be chilly later. Today's supposed to be in the 90s again. It was a nice day yesterday. It was in the middle 80s. Very dry. Very, really quite comfortable. And yeah, yesterday was a play day. I played all day. And I can't get... There's a little pesterfly about Finwell Bay. There's a piece of it that is just pestering at me. And it won't let go. And I think I have to go back and rewrite a chapter or two. Because they are too, there's too much repetition. It's too similar to Cape Grace. And while the things that Angela Pirano do, the things that Angela Pirano does are logical, the responses they get, the responses she gets from the other characters aren't, it's almost like they aren't aware that the previous story existed. Angela, yeah, okay, sure. But Annette Nelson, she should know. Eunice Winston, she should know. Even Tony Spinelli should know. And while Tony's playing his cards close to the chest, Jack Flanagan should know. And yet all of them gave pretty much the same sorts of responses that they gave Jimmy in the new book with Angela. And I think that's a problem. I think that's been a problem all along. I just never gave myself enough breathing room to consider it. I did consider that there was no reason for me to swap out Jimmy and Angela. Other than I needed somebody in charge who wasn't Jimmy. And I fell in love with the idea that the person should be his sister, his half-sister. And I like seeing how the company changes when the leadership changes. Somebody's doing laundry this morning. You can smell the dryer sheets in the wind. So yeah, yesterday was, I got done, I posted this, I fired up Fallout 4, and pretty much played for the rest of the day. Which I think is why my brain is suddenly balking. Aspen trees here turning yellow already. It's August 3rd. So what have I got to do today? I need to go look at those. There's two chapters in particular that I need to look at. I need to go look at those. Let's have therapy this morning. I'll be back in time to go to therapy. I need to do a grocery run. I'm running low on bread. I need to make yogurt today. Holy crap. I forgot to do that yesterday, and then regretted it last night. I need to make yogurt today. I need to write some today. I was going to dig right into Barbarian this morning. And I might do that. But I also want to... I'm not going to dig into it first thing this morning. I may bring up the file and start a read through this afternoon. I want to look at those two chapters in Finwell Bay. I also want to look and see what I've got in my thinking files for both the Wizard's Cat and... I know I've got an outline for the next Ishmael story. At some point I need to take a day and put The Wizard's Butler into paperback. Even if it's a day's worth of work spread across a couple of days. I've started flipping through the pages of my planner that I've been ignoring since early June. And felt terrible as I realized how many pages I had to flip in order to get up to date. And each page is a week. And it was like 5 or 6 weeks. Count up on it, get ready. Stay with me. I'm on the post. So yeah, this is August. I've got August, September, October, November, December. I've got 5 months. This guy sounds terrible. Morning. And it's funny, talking about this with my kid yesterday. About how every cough is now a panic. Used to be like, oh, I've got heartburn. Is this, am I having a heart attack? You know, every little chest pain, every little twinge is, oh my God, am I having a heart attack? Now it's every cough. It's every string of sneezes. Oh my God, do I have COVID? Every cough is a trauma. Every change in perception of body temperature is a trauma. My wife she's really sensitive to temperature. And she asks about 4 or 5 times a week. Do I feel hot to you? And this is not a new behavior. This is something that goes back 30, 40 years. I feel hot to you. And after about 5 years, she kind of got tired of, you're always hot, honey. So I've had to sort of retire that joke. With some cause, I mean, to be fair. But usually, you know, I put my forearm against her forehead, and usually it's... I was like, no. Quite frequently it's cooler than my forearm. So, no. Last night she felt warm. I was like, oh my God, why don't you take her temperature? And she did, and she doesn't have that, she doesn't have a fever, but I was like, is this warm enough? Would this be a fever? No. No, it wasn't. Well, I've been thinking about that a lot. It's like, you know, everyday life is now a series of small traumas. Everything you do. Should I touch this? And there's so many things that are ingrained. Like the guy who came and his crew came and they put up our new gutters last week, and it was like, okay, cool. And I gave, you know, wrote him a check, and he gave me the receipt, and I, without even thinking, reached out, shook his hand. Didn't even think about it. It was like, okay, we've just finished a business transaction, now we shake hands, and he goes away, and I go away, and I went to the house and washed my hands. And it was like, what was I thinking? What the hell was I thinking? A, I was standing close enough to him to shake his hand. I didn't like write the check and put it on a box and walk away so he could come and get it, which is kind of silly when you think about it. I wasn't wearing a mask, neither was he. We were outside and neither one of us really considered, I know I didn't consider that being outside requires mask wearing, because I don't go around people when I'm outside. When I'm outside, I'm usually by myself. Lady walking her little yappy dog over there. So I think part of the reality now is I'm finally coming to realize that one of the reasons that I'm having so much trouble focusing, I'm having so much trouble working, I'm having so much trouble being creative, is this very, very real sense, although below the level of awareness, this very well sense, very real sense that everything I do is an enhanced risk. Everything I do has the potential to kill me. And while that was pretty much always the case, the reality that common things like, you know, shaking the workman's hand, had the potential to kill me, to give me the disease that would kill me, that he could be asymptomatic and still working, and he's working with a crew that could be asymptomatic and still working, so he could have picked it up from his crew, or that I go to the grocery store. In the grocery store, I wear a mask. And the beauty of the mask is my mask, because it's a shemagh, is that it covers my head and face entirely except for my eyes. So if I scratch my chin, I'm not actually touching my flesh. I'm just moving the shemagh around a little bit and it scratches my chin. And then when I come home, I take it off and wash it. So, you know, I minimize the risk to the degree that I can. Come home and wash my hands. But it's that realization that everything we do, everything I do, has the potential to be fatal. It makes it a trauma. Good morning. Morning. And across the street. Make my way to the back gate. Got a lot to do today. I probably better get at it. This is the point where I say, tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.